Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll look ahead to the North West battle in the Nicky Rackard Cup as Tyrone hosts Donegal at the semi-final stage. We'll be hearing from the respective managers, Michael McShane and Mickey McCann, giving their thoughts ahead of the crucial game on Saturday. Donegal CCC Secretary Ed Byrne joins us and tells us about the priority of playing the 2020 Donegal Senior Club Final. Tommy Devan, Liddy's Gaelic football commentator, will run the rule over Saturday's Donegal-Kerry All-Ireland Championship encounter, where the winner will go to the quarter-finals. Plus, in the soccer front, Fun Harps are in Limerick, playing Fairview Rangers in the Cup this weekend. We'll be hearing from the Harps boss, Ollie Horgan. Well, we're going to start with Gaelic games, and the North West rivalry this week turns to hurling, as Tyrone hosts Donegal on Saturday afternoon in Carrickmoor, with a place in the All-Ireland Nicky Rackard final up for grabs. Holders Donegal go into the game boosted by the return of Joe Boyle, who retired last year. But Declan Coulter and Danny Cullen are concerns, and Ronan McDermott misses the game through suspension. Speaking to Mickey McCann earlier today, he says having Boyle back is a huge boost this weekend.
Ah, Joe's been a great servant, actually, and I did say to you maybe 2 months ago, I'd be hoping to get him back to Nicky Rackard, you know, and he's a great plus for us, experience to come in at this stage, you know, and he's back 10 in a month with us. So, look, I felt like he wasn't fully retired. He had a decision made, you know, and a couple of circumstances changed with him, and I went back at him again, and I knew he was biting that he was missing it, you know. So, great to have him back on board, Oisín, and he's a great plus for us, you know, and maybe hasn't enough done yet. He's training well, he's trained down there and playing friendly games, but he'll probably be on the 26th, Oisín. We'll see how it goes and see how he goes at training over the next day or two, you know.
He's been around the
great
block
to have him back on board.
Yeah, he's been around the block a long time, so he hasn't. When you're in the thick of championship and the height of the summer, experience is always telling, so it is, Mickey, and he's the kind of guy that you can bring in that can play a huge role and getting you over the line.
Definitely, Oisín, and you know, that experience, you just can't buy it, and whatever stage of the game Joe enters, he'd be a great bonus for us, and can settle us down, and you know, and good for a score, and setting up play. So look, one of them players is badly missed from last year, to be honest, so he's definitely a plus for us, Oisín, to have him back on board. And no, I feel he sat out the league this year, and then the way social media goes, and he retired, and put him under a bit of pressure where he had to say he was, where I felt maybe that he hadn't fully made his mind up, and it proved so, you know. And there's no doubt about his fitness or game time. He's been trying to that down Mayo, so and his fitness is every bit as good as anybody in our panel. So Joe's in good shape for game time, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about Declan Coulter and Danny Cullen. Danny, of course, over the last couple of games has not played due to injury. Declan Coulter was recovering over the last couple of days from an injury picked up against Leitrim. How are they rated for this weekend, Mickey?
Both serious doubt for certain. Oisín, Declan got a bad knock against Leitrim, you know, a real heavy one, and stretches above the eye and stuff. So it's going to be a real closer to the time call, you know, but both very doubtful. Danny has trained this week, you know, but he's not up at full speed yet, and likely, you know, there wouldn't be 70 minutes if we get a hold of them sometime, Oisín, maybe, you know, when the game's in the melting pot. But look, two big losses for starting, maybe. Hopefully, yet maybe one of them can get the nod to start, go for the 70 minutes, you know, but both very doubtful to manage, Oisín, and I say Danny is no championship hurling done yet, so it's just to see where he's at. You know, he's trained this week, but probably his fitness and stuff mightn't be up to the level we would want for starting, you know.
Yeah, it's far from ideal preparations. Yes, it's a bonus having Joe back, but with these two guys not firing on all cylinders, and throw into the mix the suspended Ronan McDermott as well, it's probably seen as not been the most ideal prep for you for a game of this magnitude then, Mickey.
No, them's all big players, you say, and Ronan McDermott's a massive loss to have, but, you know, he's a real workforce there for us, and turns over a lot of ball and breaks up a lot of play. So, look, he's going to take some replacing, you know, and as for Declan and Danny, you know, they've been probably two of our main players over the last, since I took over the job. So look, sure, we'll see a few chinks in our armour if them boys aren't starting the game or if they play, you know, and we know Ronan's gone. So look, there's a few wee places we have to pull up and they'll see maybe that we're a bit weaker than normal. But look, you have to trust Tosh, and most of these boys have with us 4 or 5 years now training, and you just have to give the likes of Ryan Halford and Conor Goody and them the chance to prove themselves again in a semi-final. But look, it's on their level that they haven't played at yet, and I think there's a real 50-50 game, Oshie, and Tone's going to come with a real bit of hunger and doubt. They've been about the semi-finals for maybe 4 years in a row now and didn't get the push to the final yet. So look, and home advantage to Carrigmore. Look, we're going really into a tough spot here, but looking forward to it, Oshie. I think it's going to be a good test for us. Division 2B or Division 3 there, and goes out the window. It's just on the day and pure hunger and desire, and I think our boys have no reason not to have that, Oshie, because a big bonus is an all day out in Croke Park, you know. So look, both teams a lot to play for.
Yeah, where do you rate this current Tyrone crop then? Because obviously you know them from playing them in the league, and you've played them several times in the championship. And even if you go back to last year's semi final, where you took victory at the O'Donnell Park against them to go to Croke Park, but there's a bit of change around there. So there is, Mickey. They've got a good man in Michael McShannon that certainly knows his hurling. So where do you rate Tyrone at the moment?
But look, I rate Tyrone every bit as good as hurlers at Donegal. I've seen it, and because if you took like Carrigmore, Dungannon, and all of the club teams here went up to play them, they would struggle to beat them. And it's just over the last couple of years, maybe we've been training well and pushed on a wee bit, but I feel they've done the same this year. And they were 7 points down against Armagh. We 20 minutes to go and came back and won the game. So look, they had a good attitude and drive, and Waldy won there. So and that's half the battle. If the management's getting that, Oshin, and a team that's going to fight to the end, their heads could easily have dropped there. So I feel like Tyrone's in a better place. They have been maybe in the last couple of years, and they're going to take some beating, and they have some serious hurlers there, and Damien Casey and Grugan and CJ McGurdy up front. You know, they're a real dangerous forward line, Oshin, and look, it's going to take some watching. I feel like Tyrone put Mayo out of this competition a few couple of seasons ago. So look, on their day, they're everybody as good as us and anybody in this competition, so and they'll know that, and they've home advantage. But I can see a real 50-50 game, Oshin, and going right to the melting pot, you know.
Yeah. Just finally then, I'm going to go back to last year. The likes of Jared Gilmore got a couple of goals for you. Richie Ryan stepped up with goals last year in the corresponding fixture against Tyrone at the semi-final stage. So there is men there that can get you scores if you are down, the likes of Coulter and McDermott and Cullen.
Yes, I suppose back to the semi-final last year, you know, we had Davin Flynn never started, and Declan was out against the Tyrone last year, you know, and we scored heavily in the second half with Jared getting a couple of goals and Richie. And look, it's definitely the team isn't built around them few lads anymore. There's boys that can step up and show down in Leitrim, you know. Even at the start of the second half, Jared and Richie, you know, top mounting for a lot of the scores, you know. And look, you just need these boys to turn up. But if we have 4 or 5 of them boys on, I think Tyrone has just got more fires to put out, you know what I mean, where if you have a couple of boys on, they can get bodied back and try to smother it up. But if we can get our main men, 4 or 5 or starting forwards on, you know, it takes more watching.
Well, Tyrone will begin into the tie confident after their stunning comeback to beat Armagh last time out and seal home advantage for this semi-final. Michael McShane has been in charge since the start of the year. He sees Donegal as favourites for the game and knows that the full squad will have to be utilised to beat Donegal and the conditions.
Well, Shane, it's not the best conditions. You know, players would certainly want it to be cooler. Unfortunately, we're not used to the type of weather we're getting at the moment, and for that reason it's unnatural for us to have to play in that. But look, as you say, it's a championship game on Saturday. Well, once the players get out and get at it, you know, they'll soon forget about that. You know, we'll have to make sure, both teams will have to make sure that, you know, we're getting plenty of water out to the players, and I hope the officials will allow us for that, to be able to do that. And, you know, quite possibly this could come down on Saturday, who's the fittest team, because the end of the last quarter, certainly players by that time will have started to feel
the effects of the heat, and I suppose again the use of the subs bounce will be very important as well.
Yeah, and we've seen that particularly over the last couple of weeks, and even from a football point of view and a Tyrone point of view, it was very, very effective in the championship game against Donegal, and it could be a similar factor again come this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Both management teams will be looking at that ahead of the game, because you know, weather aside, hurling and football have now become a game of 20 players, and you know, you need to bring fresh legs into any game. The pace of hurling and the pace of football has increased dramatically over the last few years, so players start to fade a bit, you know, a bit quicker nowadays, and certainly if their fitness levels aren't to where they should be, they'll certainly fade. But you know, I'm confident that the lads I have who won't be starting on Saturday will be able to come into the game and impact it, and I, you know, won't have a second thought about using them.
Yeah, well, you're in charge of these boys since the start of the year. In your view, are they as fit as they can be for the weekend, Michael?
They're as fit as they're going to be, Oisin. Unfortunately, because of COVID, whilst I was appointed back in January, first time I got to meet the lads was on the 20th of April. We had a bit of a running program going for them that they were doing individually during lockdown, but it's not the same. You don't get to do the same work, and you know, certainly in the normal course of a year, you would like to think that you would get a really good pre-season and a lot more work done, and that they would be fitter. But look, I have to give my players credit, because since I met with them on the 20th of April, they've done everything I asked of them, and particularly over the last few weeks where we've really wrapped it up for championship, and they've put in an unbelievable amount of work since the Armagh game. So I'm very happy where they're at conditioning-wise and fitness-wise, and hopefully it'll be enough for us on Saturday.
Yeah. Speaking of that Armagh game, the previous day out, you started a bit sluggish, weren't really at the pace of the game at half-time. But my God, just turned it around the second half, down to 14 men. Michael, you put on a stunning performance to come from 7 points down. It was a phenomenal second half for your guys, a phenomenal closing stages, and a brilliant championship performance. Would you agree?
I would, yeah. I was extremely impressed by them, and very proud of their performance in the last 20, 25 minutes of that game. We weren't so hot up to that, and there may have been reasons for that. I suppose that was the first real... sort of white heat championship game that we had played, and we maybe took the first half to get going and get up to the pace of it. But once we got to the pace of it, and certainly when it looked like everything was going against us, we were a man down, playing into a fairly stiff breeze and 7 points down. You know, what really impressed me was their desire to win that game. Many other teams might have given up the ghost, but they had their backs to the wall and they came out fighting, and they, you know, I know there's the type of hurlers that we have in that team, and they really showed it that day, the desire, their skills and their drive to go on, and it was a very impressive last 20-25 minutes. But you know, the trick this week is, you know, that won't do for us against a very, very good Donegal team. We're going to have to try and produce that for, you know, 70-75 minutes to give ourselves a chance, and that's what we've focused on over the last few weeks.
As for Donegal, what do you make of them? Obviously playing at a higher level in the league this year. Michael, do you think that gives Donegal that bit of edge on you guys getting under the tie?
Well, look, I mean, I think Donegal are hot favourites getting under this. And I'm not just saying that, you know, I mean that they're playing in a league above us, and they've retained their place in it, and I'm very worthy of it. I've seen their game against Derry, and that game could have went either way. They lost by a point. You know, they're a very mature team. They're a team that's been together and working together for maybe 4 or 5 years. They won the Nicky Rackard last year. As I say, they gained promotion and retained their place. So they're a level above us and a step ahead of us, I think, in terms of maturity. But, you know, every championship game will have its own life. And Saturday, we'll not be worrying about those things. You know, we'll give Donegal the greatest of respect because they are a very, very good team. You know, we've worked diligently to look at them and see if we can, you know, if we can identify any weaknesses that we might be able to expose. But you know, they've got a massive amount of strength that we have to try and stop. And you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge. Mm-hmm. Are the players? We're playing a very, very good team. We're playing the holders and probably the competition favourite. So you know, it'll be an interesting game, and it'll let us see where we're at, really.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to faze you by the sound of things. Damien Casey put on a fine performance the last day with 10 points. Listen, he's had some exceptional games for you this year. Will he need another one come Saturday?
Yeah, well, look, we'll need a big game from Damien, obviously, but we'll need a big game from all the lads around him as well. And, you know, Damien's been Tyrone's talisman for many years now. He's an absolutely superb hurler, and, you know, he's got a great attitude on the field and off the field. He's a great leader, the captain this year, and, you know, he's the guy that the other players probably look to. And he was one of the men who, on that day against Armagh, when the chips were down, he really stood up and drove the thing on. But, you know, sometimes, you know, Tyrone hurling can be thought of as a one-man show, and it certainly isn't that. And Damien would be the first to admit it. You know, he's our talisman, but there's a lot of very, very good hurlers around him. And we've introduced, you know, about five or six lads this year who are 18, 19 years of age. They're in the first year of inter-county hurling. They're learning the trade at that level, but they've been very, very impressive and, you know, naturally really gifted hurlers. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they go on Saturday against tough opposition.
Yeah, making a Nicky Rackyard final, was that your top target at the year, was it, Michael?
No, but to be really honest with you, I think my top target was to gain promotion because I wanted to get Tyrone to a level above them in the league and you know, like Donegal, be playing a higher standard of team and that would be the one thing that will improve them. But we fell short a bit there. We came up against a very good Sligo team and we fell a bit short and we didn't get promoted. But once that was over, you know, championship was coming up next. The Nicky Rackyard is a competition that we would love to win. And we just, together, we all said, let's just throw everything we have at this year. And, you know, we came through the Armagh game, which has given us a great boost of confidence. And now we look forward to playing what I think is the best team in the competition and seeing what we can do against them.
There you go. That's Michael McShane. By the way, we'll have live coverage from that game this coming Saturday afternoon with regular updates and some live commentary. 2 o'clock is the start time in Carrickmore, and I'll be joined in commentary this week by former Donegal goalkeeper Paul O'Brien from Burt. The other semi-final, by the way, in the Nicky Rackyard competition sees Mayo against Armagh. And that one was an earlier start time on Saturday of 1:30. We can't forget about Derry, who are also playing in an All-Ireland competition this weekend at the semi-final stage. They will welcome Sligo in the Christy Ring Cup semi-final. 2 o'clock is the start time to that one. The other semi-final in that competition will see Offaly up against Wicklow. Now to ladies football, an All-Ireland Senior Championship quarter-final against the champions Dublin is the prize on offer for either Donegal or Kerry this weekend. The do-or-die clash of Maxie Kern's side and the ladies of the kingdom will be played out in Tuam Galway on Saturday afternoon starting at 5 o'clock. Ladies Gaelic football commentator Tommy Devan has watched both sides this year in the championship and he's leaning towards a Donegal victory. Tommy, good to talk to you again about ladies football. You're the Galway man that knows everything about Donegal and Kerry. Listen, it's been an interesting championship to say the least, but one thing we know this weekend, it's do or die for these two counties, Tommy.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose Donegal, you know, are coming in after the back of that, what some people would call a shock defeat to Galway, but I think there's never too much between Galway and Donegal over the years, but I think what will worry Maxie Curran is the concession of, you know, we call them soft goals, to be honest, to start the second half last weekend, you know, to concede those 3 goals in 2 minutes. It's a killer punch for any team. And, you know, I'm sure something Maxie will be working on during the week, tightening up that defence, and particularly with the kickouts, you know, that they don't give away possession and get penalised. Kerry probably possess one of the best forwards in the country in Louise Niewerk-Hurthy. She scored 2-7, Oisín, as you remember, against Galway out of 2-10. So I'm sure Maxie and the lads will be doing a bit of work to keep her quiet next weekend.
Yeah. The only thing about this championship is you don't have that much time on the training pitch to sort of rectify problems and issue given it's week on week, Tommy.
No, you're so right, Oisín. And then you have to take into consideration, you know, we're playing through a heatwave the last, you know, couple of games. And I presume next weekend will still be, may not be quite as hot, but certainly energy sapping for both Donegal and Kerry. And, you know, that takes on its own issues as well as, you know, for hydration and trying to keep the girls, I suppose, in good shape coming up to the game, during the game and after as well, you know. But, you know, we're really looking forward to this game. I mean, as you said, it's a winner-take-all. Donegal need to win. But I think the most important thing is Donegal have to look after their own patch next weekend. You know, they are coming in after that, you know, disappointing result against Galway. But, you know, it's not that they're gone, but it's just how they have coped during the last week and how they've Maxi has managed to get the attitude back and get the appetite right for this weekend's clash.
You've watched Donegal now on several occasions, commentating for Galway Bay and indeed for Highland Radio Sport as well. What has pleased you about Donegal? What's the factor in their game that could give them the edge over Kerry this weekend, do you feel, Tommy?
Yeah, well, I've been watching Donegal over the last number of years, and I think, you know, Maxi has brought them to a level now where they probably play as good and exciting brand of football equal to any ladies team out there. Okay, if you take Dublin out of the equation, who are, you know, really, really the team to beat for everyone. But Donegal, they play a fast, open brand of football. And, you know, up front, you know, in Karen Guthrie and Geraldine McLaughlin, they probably have two of the best forwards in the last number of years, not alone in Donegal, but in the country. And they are hugely exciting to watch, Oisin, as you know. And if they get enough of ball and they get enough of space inside, you know, they just torment any defence. And I just think Donegal's all-round, you know, starting 15, you know, have that little bit more edge than Kerry. Kerry would be disappointed having lost to Galway by the narrowest of margins, but also having lost to Meath the week before in the Division 2 League final, where, you know, they simply didn't turn up at Croke Park. But, you know, you can't take away from Meath in that either, because they're an up-and-coming team as well. So, look, Donegal, pound for pound, player for player, are as good as what's out there. It's a little setback to lose to Galway last weekend, but maybe it's a blessing in disguise, maybe, for, you know, some of the players and for Maxi, that, you know, they're going to have to work that little bit harder, tighten up a little bit in defence, and not to give away any soft goals, as we call them, because, you know, they really, really, you know, to turn around and concede three goals last week in 2 minutes, it meant like that they had to score 10 points, you know, to overcome that, and that was never going to happen on a very energy-sapping day in Markovic Park.
Yeah, well, Maxi has said this throughout the course of this year and last year, that this is now the sort of period where Donegal have to step up and be a match for the bigger teams, and you have to stop, I suppose, mistakes happening like what happened the last day. So when you go into a sort of game now that has the magnitude of this, with a quarter-final berth at stake in the All-Ireland Series, you cannot be making mistakes anymore. You can't have a repeat of the last day, or what has happened in previous big games for Donegal, Tommy.
Correct, and you alluded to it there. I mean, speaking to Maxi after the Cork defeat, he was very disappointed to lose that game, felt that Donegal should have won it. But again, go back to the concession of goals, which probably, you know, just killed off that Donegal challenge at certain times during the game. So, you know, there's no doubt about it that there's a fantastic midfield pairing for Donegal in there, and there's certainly six forwards up there that can trouble any defence on any given day. And I think the two most crucial players that we mentioned already, Guthrie and Geraldine McLaughlin, if they get enough of ball, Oisin, you know, they will score, they will torment any defence, you know, and they're a joy to watch when they're in full motion. And it's great to see the two of them combining together, and not taking away from the other forwards, but, you know, they are the key players. They are the girls that have an eye for goal. They are girls that can score from open play and from place balls. So I think a lot will hinge on their performance the next day, but without putting too much pressure on them. But, you know, Donegal have, as you say, a good start in 15. They have good girls to come on off the bench as well. So, you know, I think Maxi will be disappointed after last weekend, but, you know, that goes out the window probably on the Sunday when they get to had a look back at the game, got themselves into the recovery situation during the week. I'm sure there wasn't too much training going on, heavy stuff, and it was just about, you know, getting the mindset right. They're going to Tuam on Saturday. They know the ground so well. They've been there a couple of times already this year, and it's been kind to Donegal over the years as well, for the most matter. And look, we're looking forward to that game, and, you know, in my opinion, Donegal are certainly a few points better than Kerry on any given day. But as you rightly said earlier, it's championship. There's no second chances. This is the last game. If you don't win it, you're out.
Yeah. Just finally then, I'll throw the curveball at you, Tommy. What happens if it ends in a draw?
Yeah, I think because Galway beat Kerry by a point, that takes care of that game. And Galway beat Donegal the last day, I think it was 3-11. To 110 or something. The final score eludes me now at the moment, but I think we'll go down to scoring difference between Donegal and Kerry. I don't see it ending in a draw. I think Donegal will be that little bit stronger for Kerry. I saw Kerry play Galway, and Kerry, you know, they come out of the blocks. They had played a game in the league final the week before they played Galway, so they were a little bit more match practiced and had a little bit more tempo going in. They used it in the first half, and they led only by 2 points after having dominated in the first half. But again, Galway came out in the second half and put their A game together, and you know, Kerry simply had no answer. And as I said, Louise Nee were her peak. She scored 2-7 out of 2-10, and Kerry didn't score for 20 minutes of the second half. So I think if Maxi has a look at that game and has a look at the stats and that, he'll find that, you know, this Donegal team have every chance of beating Kerry and getting themselves right back into contention for the All-Ireland series.
Okay. Listen, Tommy, many thanks for joining us, and enjoy the action over the weekend.
Pleasure, Oisín. Thank you.
Tommy Devan looking ahead to Donegal against Kerry, and we'll have live coverage from that game as well this coming Saturday. Throws in at 5 o'clock in Tuam. Kevin Dwyer's the commentator, and he'll be joined by Maureen O'Donnell. Tyrone are also in action this weekend in the All-Ireland Championship. They're taking on Waterford in Group 3, and that one starts on Saturday at 2 o'clock. To men's football, the Donegal CCC say they will do everything in their power to protect playing the 2020 Donegal Senior Football Championship. They met on Tuesday evening to re-examine the draft fixture timetable, with the final scheduled for the last weekend in August. Confirmation of the actual date and time will be made available as soon as possible. As flagged last week, the number of games being postponed and the continued high incidence of COVID cases across the county has meant that the free weekends allowed to enable catch-up games to be played will now be fully utilised between now and then. Speaking to Highland Radio Sport earlier today, Donegal CC Secretary Ed Byrne says he has big concerns for the coming weeks.
Yes, I suppose is the short answer to that question. We have seen a rise in the communities, in the numbers that you're seeing, even going for testing. Some cases, testing is now taking more than the 24 hours that it was taking, reaching out into 48 hours. So we have seen a rise in all of that. First thing, Oisín, I suppose, is every club has to be commended for the work that they're putting in, the amount of hours that the officers there, club secretaries, spending time on phones, talking to us, updating us on numbers, updating us on results and everything. They have to be commended. And look, they are pushing at the minute, the getting people to comply with the COVID regulations. But yeah, look, it's worrying. We just don't want to be in a position we were in last year where we see spectators taken away from games and that, you know. We just don't want to go back to that.
How close areas to postponement of the leagues?
I suppose, look, ultimately we'll stay going until such a time as either COVID or somebody steps in. We're at the stage now where we did move the playoffs for promotion and relegation to after our championship. And look, I think it was the best move at the time, and it's paid off for us now because it's given us 3 weeks in August that we have to move back our game. So catch-up weekend will be August bank holiday weekend, and hopefully at that stage most clubs will be in the position to go into round 8 and 9. However, I just had a quick look over Division 3 probably, and maybe 4, but certainly Division 3, and there's one club, dependent how this week goes for them, maybe 3 games behind. If that's the case, they're looking at playing Division 3 won't be finished until the 20th, which isn't ideal because the championship for them will be starting, for some of the clubs, will be starting the 4th and 5th of September. You know, so we'd hope to give a bigger break. But look, COVID will dictate to us rather than us to it. So that's where we find ourselves. As for postponing, we're not looking at postponing anything at all. As long as it's safe to continue, we're going to continue.
If it becomes in real danger, that a postponement becomes a reality, Ed, is there any room to pull forward the club championship final from last year to be assured that that game does not fall into a deferral or a postponement bracket?
I can tell you from our meeting the other night that one thing we all agreed on unanimously, that we will do whatever needs to be done to protect the 2020 county final.
And does that include pulling it forward by a week or two if necessary?
If situation changes, yes. The CCC ultimately have the power to change a fixture and require this 5 days' notice, and actually probably on a refixture in this case is probably less. I think it's maybe a couple of days short of that again. So, yes, we do have it within our power. And as I said, it's unanimously agreed at CCC that should anything that we find that's going to have a knock-on effect that would see us maybe having to postpone or indeed defer the county final. If we can bring it forward, then that's a decision we will be happy to make.
Okay. As things stand, you envisage a situation of Saturday, the 28th of August. Maybe can you give us the reasoning around that date?
No, well, we haven't confirmed that date. That's media speculation. I think somebody maybe spoke out of turn to media after our meeting, probably very quickly after our meeting the other night. And speculation went out there. The only reason that date is put out there, and obviously Sunday 29th is All-Ireland final, we have to comply, as you'd be aware, with the Broadcasting Act. And in some cases, the rights to the county finals are owned by, whether it's some of the broadcasters, you know, there's two of them in the mix, as you know, for television rights. And we have to comply with what they would tell us. That was set aside last year. I'm not too sure, and we're waiting clarification on that for this year. Outside of those hours, we can stream the game. What we would like to see as a CCC is that it's access for everybody as best we can. And by doing that, we don't want to look at deferred coverage or anything like that. We want it live. And if that means that it's an unusual time of a Sunday, of a Saturday, or indeed a Friday night, we're prepared to make that decision, because at the moment only 500 people are going to get into this final. Hopefully, we're going to see maybe the GAA. I don't want to preempt anything, but I would have thought if we're going indoor dining that maybe they'll look at letting 1,000 in to games. If that's the case, we'd have greater numbers in. What we want to do is make sure and provide for all of the people that are at home that they're able to get access to a live coverage of the game. And if that means us having to put it on at an unusual time, we'll do it.
Yeah, and that's the similar situation, the same scenario in play for, not forgetting about Niamh Columbkill and Niamh Ulton, who have a game which is just as big to them as what a county final would be.
Of course, and again, the eye is certainly on Division 3, as I said there, because yeah, one of the clubs is in Division 3, one of them is in Division 4. That playoff is set for around either the weekend of the 20th or the 27th. That's yet to be decided when that is. Again, the option is to pull that forward is there also, if need be, to get it played. And that's something the CCC, again, will be happy to do. So if we find ourselves that we need to do it, we will do it.
Yeah.
So, I will be happy enough that we've made, I suppose, contingency plans at this stage. And we intend to review it. And it is being reviewed on a daily basis, Austin. Yeah. Honestly, to be fair to Michelle Bennett and the referees, we are in daily contact. I mean, I suppose there's a couple of people on the CCC there, and it is daily contact. And in some cases, in the evening time, it's hourly contact at the moment. So you will see changes in games and maybe timing of games and different things is allowing for, look, if test results aren't back in time and we have to move games 2 or 3 hours to a little bit later of a Sunday than we normally would, we'll do it.
Yeah, okay. Listen, Ed, thanks for talking to us, and the best of luck with the next couple of weeks, because I know it's going to be a trying time for yous guys, but yous are doing your best to keep everybody happy.
No bother. Thanks a million. Well done to all the clubs again.
Well, there is full programmes of games in the Donegal All-County League across all divisions this weekend. As things stand, all are going ahead. But the action starts on Friday evening, Senior Hurling League, with 4 games down for decision. McCool's play Carndonagh, Satanta take on Ayrua, Buncrana play St Unans, and Burt are up against Dunloe. And the only game to be played on the football front in the All-County Leagues penciled in for Friday evening is in Division 3, and it's Red Hughes against Mavell. The other games are all spread across Saturday and Sunday. To soccer we go, having gone 8 Premier Division games without a win. This week's FAI Senior Cup meeting in Limerick against Fairview Rangers gives Finn Harps a change of scene. It's a tie, however, that Ollie Horgan says will be a difficult one and brings a different type of pressure. After what's been a disappointing run of results, does the Cup bring a welcome distraction for the Finn Harps group?
Yeah, I think so, Oisin. Yeah, I mean, only time will tell, but it'll be a very difficult test zone there. They've won the Junior Cup last year and are probably the top junior side in the country over the last 20 years. However, it is a break from the league, and, you know, it's it's a different type of pressure, but it'll be tight down there, and we need to be right to try and get out of it. If we're not, it could be a long afternoon down there on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sure you've watched Fairview in their previous game, of course, where they played Athenry. What can you see Fairview bring into the table on Saturday, Ollie?
Hell of a lot, Oisin. There's a lot of experience, a lot of lads that played with Limerick, and a lot of lads that Limerick wanted to sign but wouldn't go. They're the top junior side in the country. Yeah, they're the junior team, if you like, but look, we've been there, I've been there on the other side of the changing room, in particular with the likes of Fannett and non-league sides, and we know how difficult it's going to be. They're quite experienced, with a lot of League of Ireland experience behind them. They haven't been beaten in that pitch for a long number of years in the Fair Green, so we know it'll be very difficult. However, we need to be right and to be at the best of our ability to try and get through this.
Yeah. Is it an opportunity then, Ollie, for you maybe to give a start to players that haven't got a chance to line out from the opening whistle for you, or is it a game that you have to go right? I have to continue here with the strongest 11 that I have available?
To be fair, to most of them that are still there, they've all played parts and big parts of that. So that type of way, maybe not to try and keep people happy. No, we need to try and get to the next round of the cup, be it an extra time penalties or a last minute winner, and that's how tight it could be. And we need to put a team out that's good enough to try and progress in the cup. But yeah, there will be a number of changes. We've a number of suspensions rushing with Tunde and Ethan Boyle both out. We've a number of injuries anyway. So regardless of giving people game time, we'd have to have made changes anyway. So yeah, there'll be a number of changes on Saturday compared to the team that played at Dundalk last Saturday afternoon, I think.
Yeah. I know after the game against Dundalk last week, it was a very, very good second half performance, and you said that was a big positive to take away from Oriel Park. Is that enough to put positivity around the camp afterwards, Ollie, leading into a cup encounter?
Well, I suppose it has to be, Oisin, because we're having a huge amount of positivity in recent weeks to clutch on to, and we'll take anything in that manner. But look, the second half in Dundalk was very good. Had we played like that the previous week, we probably would have won if we played like that for the 90 minutes. But the downside of it, in the first half, we were very poor and we could have been out of sight as regards Dundalk could have had the game won at half-time. But we've got to take the positives of the second half. If we can play like that away from home in Dundalk, you know, we should have the confidence to play like that anywhere. But we need to play somewhere like that in Limerick on Saturday to get out of there.
Yeah, and since we last spoke, Ollie, Waterford have closed the gap. There's just a point in it there now in the Premier Division. It was something that you highlighted a number of weeks out that could happen. Now it has happened. Has the pressure and the ante just been upped even more?
Well, possibly, you know, from your point of view, from looking at it from the outside, I said it from day one, what we were going into, we're in a very similar position in the league, probably better than we were in other years, except we've come about it in a different order. Usually we started poorly and picked up. Here we started very strongly and have dropped. However, you're still in the position maybe better off than we were a number of years ago. But I did indicate what Waterford have taken in with huge, massive experience from England. Eddie Nolan himself has been capped three times with Ireland in the international senior setup, and has played 500 games around England, in particular with Crewe. That doesn't come just, you know, of course, with that experience they were going to improve. And it wasn't me being, you know, the killjoy. We knew what they had and we knew what points they'd take up. But we've got to collect points ourselves and accumulate points to try and stay away from them or try and catch some of the others and try and stay away from Longford, who certainly haven't gone away either.
Yeah. If you look at the league situation, Ollie, your last league game was against Dundalk last Saturday the 14th. Your next one is going to be against Bohemians, which will not take place in the original date of Friday the 30th because Bohs are in Europe. It could be knocked out to the Monday or even further down the road. Is that a significant gap that you would be happy with, or would you have liked to see the league games a lot tighter?
It's hard to know. Only time will tell in that, Oisin. We'd like to play a game, obviously, against Bohs, whatever time, at a weekend. the three games a week, which if the Bohemians game doesn't go ahead, we'll then go to a midweek game. With what we had, we would love to avoid that. But when you're not going all that well and we're not collecting points as we need to stay in the division, it might be a bad thing, but I mean, that's out of our hands. What you refer to there, it depends how Bohemians get on against Luxembourg both tonight and next Thursday, and they then have the choice when and where they play us. So, you know, certainly it's a huge advantage to them as to whether the game goes ahead and when it goes ahead. So there's no point in us whinging about it. We have no choice in when it happens, and we wait to see what happens then, first of all.
Yeah. Have you been happy with how the new signings have settled in, Musto and Hawkins, Ollie?
Yeah, they've done well. Jordan has taken a while to get, you know, he's come in not having played basically since April. He needs to improve in his fitness, and we think he has. Dan has come in, you know, probably the age profile he is. He's at the ground running, but he needs to continue to, and, you know, yeah, look, we're happy with that, but we need everyone to, you know, step up a level to try and get points to stay in this division, Oisin, as was our goal way back, although maybe other people didn't want to hear that. It is as it is, and we need to kick on and try and improve. Yeah.
Just one more question on the signing front. Is there any more to come in the next couple of weeks, Ollie? I'm sure you're keeping a close eye to see if there's anybody available.
Yeah, there is. Have we anyone lined up and ready to go? No. But we're looking at taking in possibly one more. However, trying to get that one more has proven a bit of difficulty. It's a difficult window to get people in. It's probably easier in the winter window because a lot of teams who play winter football have made up their mind who they're keeping and who they're letting out. Here, it's very much pre-season with the winter teams, and they don't tend to gamble or let people out as easy in this window.
Okay, just finally then, Ollie, I know it's against junior opposition. You've indicated it could be a tricky tie, but a win would be huge this weekend. It might be just the shot in the arm that you need going forward.
Yeah, but that would take a very, very good performance, Oisin. But if we got that, we could look on from it. The downside of it is they are the best junior team in the country and have been for the last 20 years, put it that way, Tia, and are very experienced. But if we play well and stumble over the line, we'll take that with open arms.
There you go. Ollie Horgan ahead of Harps against Fairview Rangers in the Cup this coming Saturday. Kicks off at 4 o'clock. We will have regular updates from that game with John Keogh as from the kickoff time. Derry are also in action on Saturday. They're just a wee bit earlier at 3 o'clock at Head in the Game Park as they take on Drogheda United. The North West sides both away from home in the Cup but looking to progress in the competition. And that's it from the Score for tonight. If you missed any of the programme, it is of course available in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Chris Ashmore will have our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, enjoy the rest of this glorious sunshine on this Thursday evening. Have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.